Please stand for the reading of Scripture. Today's reading comes from the book of Acts, the 15th chapter. Then certain individuals came down from Judea and were teaching the brothers, "Unless you are circumcised according to the custom of Moses, you cannot be saved." And after Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and debate with them, Paul and Barnabas and some of the others were appointed to go up to Jerusalem to discuss this question with the apostles and the elders. So they were sent on their way by the church, and as they passed through both Phoenicia and Samaria, they reported the conversion of the Gentiles and brought great joy to all the believers. When they came to Jerusalem, they were welcomed by the church and the apostles and the elders, and they reported all that God had done with them. But some believers who belonged to the sect of the Pharisees stood up and said, "It is necessary for them to be circumcised and ordered to keep the law of Moses." The apostles and the elders met together to consider this matter. After there had been much debate, Peter stood up and said to them, "My brothers, you know that in the early days God made a choice among you that I should be the one through whom the Gentiles would hear the message of the good news and become believers. And God, who knows the human heart, testified to them by giving them the Holy Spirit, just as he did to us. And in cleansing their hearts by faith, God has made no distinction between them and us. Now, therefore, why are you putting God to the test by placing on the neck of the disciples a yoke that neither our ancestors nor we have been able to bear? On the contrary, we believe that we will be saved through the grace of the Lord Jesus, just as they will." The whole assembly kept silence and listened to Barnabas and Paul as they told of all the signs and wonders that God had done through them among the Gentiles. After they finished speaking, James replied, "My brothers, listen to me. Simeon has related how God first looked favorably on the Gentiles to take from among them a people for his name. This agrees with the word of the prophets, as it is written, 'After this, I will return, and I will rebuild the dwelling of David, which has fallen. From its ruins, I will rebuild it, and I will set it up so that all other peoples may seek the Lord, even all the Gentiles over whom my name has been called. Thus say the Lord, who has been making these things known from long ago.'" Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Please be seated. Okay, so there's a lot going on in that text, a lot of ancient church politics. So let's see if we can unpack it a little bit. So what was happening here is that Paul and Barnabas have been in Antioch doing ministry among the Gentiles. And they've also been going out from Antioch as missionaries to the surrounding communities. And things have been going really well for them. God has been active among the people and doing signs and wonders, and faith communities have been forming and flourishing. And then in today's reading, we're told that certain individuals had come down from Judea, and they're causing trouble. They're stirring the pot. Basically, they've appointed themselves as the orthodoxy police. They've appointed themselves as the right way of doing things police. And so they start teaching the Gentile believers that they have to be circumcised in order to be saved. Now that seems like ancient history, right? Literally. It seems like foreign and it has nothing to do with us. But basically, this is all about insider-outsider stuff, which, as we know, still happens all the time, especially in the church. You see, in this new sect within Judaism, this group of Jewish people who follow the teachings of Jesus and have themselves been made to be outsiders, in this young Christian movement, there's already a bit of division. There's the church in Jerusalem, which represents the traditional Jewish Christians, and there's the church in Antioch, which is the newer Gentile-including Christian church. And so we're told that a group of individuals from the traditional Jerusalem church came to Antioch. And now, it's important to know, they weren't sent to Antioch. It wasn't the church who sent them. They just took it upon themselves to go to Antioch and tell the people there what they'd been doing wrong. And so, of course, it caused a big kerfuffle. Just think about what would happen if you show up to a group of grown men and tell them they all have to go get circumcised. It's not going to go over very well, right? And then on top of that, this was the Greek people they were talking to. And within the Greek culture, circumcision was viewed as mutilation. It was culturally abhorrent. And now Paul and Barnabas, they knew that because they'd been living and working among the Gentiles. So they knew this. And so they argued and they debated with the troublemakers, tried to shut them down. But eventually the community decided to send Paul and Barnabas and some others to Jerusalem to ask them to deal with it. Sort of like taking a congregational conflict to the Senate office and asking for some help. So bottom line, all this talk about circumcised versus uncircumcised was all about insider, outsider. Old way of doing things, new way of doing things. And so Paul and Barnabas travel to Jerusalem, and they stop at churches all along the way, and they give their missionary reports. And they bring this conflict, this issue, to the apostles and the elders in Jerusalem. They're asking for clarity on this point. There wasn't church policy at the time, but it's kind of like they want an update to church policy. It's time for this young community of Jewish Christians to decide what exactly is required to belong. So Paul and Barnabas bring the issue to the apostles and the elders, and then Peter stands up and gives his testimony. He reminds the group that they had given their stamp of approval back when he baptized Cornelius, the first Gentile to be baptized, who was also uncircumcised. And what I love about Peter's testimony is that he points 100% to what God was doing in that moment. Peter reminds the assembly. He says, God chose me to send me to the Gentiles. And God sent the Holy Spirit to them. And in doing so, God made no distinction between us and them. Peter's testimony was all about God's activity among the non-Jewish people, the new thing that God was doing and that Peter was just participating in. And then the assembly did the most brilliant thing in church history. They kept silence and listened. They kept silence and listened. Can you imagine in a church actually listening? Imagine how much people of faith could learn, could accomplish if they kept silence and listened. Well, that's what the assembly did. They listened to Paul and Barnabas share about what God was doing among the Gentiles. They kept silence and they listened. And then James got up and quoted the prophet Amos. After that, the assembly agreed that circumcision was not required to be saved. So in all of this, faithful believers were faithfully following God's law and studying God's word. But in doing so, they had gotten so hung up on doing things faithfully, on doing things right, that they'd lost sight of what God was doing. Now, I want to be clear that the things they were doing weren't bad. Just like today, it's complicated by the fact that there's value in the old way of doing things. For the ancient Jewish people, the practice of circumcision, as well as Sabbath keeping and dietary laws, these were the ways they maintained their identity as a people In the midst of oppression and occupation and even being displaced from their homes, these practices that set them apart were reminders of their covenant with God and of who they were. But even good things can be used to make us feel more important than others or to keep others out. Even our best religious practices or spiritual disciplines can be misused to make us seem better than them. This has happened ever since the church began. And whenever the church has gotten hung up on who is in and who is out, we always miss out on what God is doing right in front of us. Pastor Jim talked about this a couple of weeks ago when he talked about the upcoming summer sermon series about rewriting the story. This idea of rewriting the story so often is just about the people of God paying attention, opening their eyes to see what God is doing right in front of them, and then telling the story accordingly. We've seen that when the church finally acknowledged the God-given gifts of ministry in women by allowing them to become ordained. We've seen that as the church has slowly been opening its eyes to the gifts of ministry given to LGBTQ+ people, as well as the work of God in the midst of all different types of families and relationships. When we open our eyes, we see God at work in the lives of people of all different faiths, as well as people of no faith. We see God at work among prisoners and others that society devalues. We see God at work in teenagers and children, among people who don't act like us or think like us. We see God at work in the lives of every group of people that we have ever written off. You see, God is unbounded. God is not restricted by our prejudices or preconceived ideas. God is not restrained by our expectations, which means that God is at work. God is active in our lives and in our world in new and creative ways every single day, and in places and people we may never have expected. The beauty of today's reading is that it reminds us God has no entrance requirements for being active in our lives. The person who's been most influential in helping me in just my personal faith journey to see God at work in my life is someone who doesn't go to church, who wasn't raised in any faith tradition. She's always been a seeker, but when she's tried to join various churches, she always ended up pushed out because she didn't act right. She didn't ask the right questions, or she asked the wrong questions, until finally she just gave up on church. But despite that, she continues to trust in God and to share with others what God is doing in her life. As someone outside of the church, she has helped me more than I can say to see God's hand at work in my life and in the world around me simply by paying attention, by looking every single day for the good and beautiful, as she calls it. The hand of God, the love of God. And the more we look for it, the more we are able to see it, the good and beautiful, which I think is the same as what Paul and Barnabas called signs and wonders. It's paying attention to what God is doing. And when we pay attention, when we practice looking for it and noticing what God is already doing, then we're better able to join in. Then we're better able to participate in God's activity, in God's love, to participate in God's kingdom. Thanks be to God. Amen.